Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What's up, y'all? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network from Nashville, Tennessee. On this show, we do something called Dumb Bleep of the Week. That is where the live group, the Fed Haters Club, puts in their submissions. People on Twitter put in submissions. I put in submissions, and then we pick about 10 of them. And we have the live group, the Fed Haters Club, vote on which one was the dumbest. They will move on to Dumb Bleep of the Year. The winner will get a trophy. It's very fun. Very fun to do. And it's everyone's favorite episode. You look at our stats, all of our top episodes are Dumb Bleep episodes. We might as well just do this episode.
People like the dumb.
Yeah, they really like listening to us make fun of dumb things, which is kind of what we do every day. We just don't call it that. But anyhow, we're going to get going on these. We've already got the submissions put into the Dumb Bleep of the Week voting channel. And I reckon we might as well get on to number one. Now, number one, this might be confusing for some people. All right. Okay, let's get on to Dumb Bleep number one. This does not mean that we're pro-Hamas, by the way, because we're not. As we've said, every single one of those sons of deserves to die a traitor's death.
Terrorism.
Absolutely.
Just like against I'm against it. Death.
Yeah. Those are the videos of people getting killed that I'd like to see.
They go against the basic principles of, like, don't hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take their stuff.
Yeah. So
and don't take people.
Basically, anyone who's not a libertarian. That's who we. Kidding. But there is this thing going on where, listen, there's Palestine, there's Gaza, and then there's Hamas. I do understand that Hamas is the elected regime of Gaza, but I don't think that we should make the assumption, and this assumption
that people actually had a choice.
The assumption is necessary for when you see, like, oh, someone blew up a building and it had 100 civilians in it and they all died. The assumption is necessary for you to justify seeing civilians die. Like, you have to jump through these loops and say, well, they voted for Hamas. They're in power. This is who they wanted, and so they all support it. I don't think that's true. You could look at a very simple fact, like the fact that we don't support what the American regime does, and we've been here for 35 and 36 years, and we don't support what the American regime does, so do we deserve to die for what they do? There's millions of potential libertarians out there. There's a bunch of Republicans that don't support Biden, the current president that's out there. And so when you look at an elected government of a land, you can't just say, well, that means that government represents all of the people inside of this land. We have it right here in America where the elected government doesn't represent all of the people. So why would you think in an area where you would just get shot in the street for not supporting the government that all the people support the government in the land?
Yeah, it's now, like saying all the North Koreans support Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, well, they don't rise up against them. They're not protesting against what Kim Jong-un is doing because they don't want to die. They've done the calculation. Anyhow, Wilfred Riley says that it's not an exaggeration to say that people who are pro-Palestine in any political sense are pro-Hamas. Hamas is the elected government of the currently prominent chunk of Palestine.
Mm.
Okay, so
that seems like an exaggeration, actually, though, Wilford.
Now, there are a lot of people at these pro-Palestine rallies we've seen around the world and in the U.S. that actually are pro-Hamas, what Hamas did, and that's really dumb. And that's really gross. Okay. Mises Caucus had a nice little post on here, said, so being pro-America means being pro-Biden. No, clearly it does not mean that you are pro-Biden or pro what the current government is in the United States. Here's another post from Dinesh D'Souza. This is in response to a New York Post article. The New York Post article says progressives call for U.S. to take in some of the expected 1 million Gaza refugees. So that's the story. Not to take in all 1 million, but some of the 1 million Gaza refugees. And Dinesh D'Souza says, Hamas in America. This is how progressives define progress. So any refugee from Gaza is Hamas, I guess. That's what it would be. For the same reason that if you move to another country, that would be the same thing as Biden in America. You know, if I'm just saying, if you right. connect those two things together, mm-hmm. that's what they are. You have to believe that there are people who live in a country who are too scared to stand up against their government, who do not support their government. Do not make this rationalization, this justification, so you don't have to feel bad when civilians get killed in a conflict. And Clint Russell made a really good, described this all in a really good way. I just saw this morning.
All right. He said, this is Liberty Lockdown. He said, there hasn't been an election in Palestine in 17 years. That's true. Half of the people living in Gaza today weren't even alive during that election. The voting age in 2006 was 18, so you'd have to be 35 years old today to have ever voted, even once in your entire life. 70% of them are under 35 years old, so 70% plus of them have never voted. Hamas won the election with under 50% of the popular vote, so approximately 85% of Palestinians alive today didn't vote for Hamas. So to the people who keep saying they voted for Hamas, they get what they deserve, stop saying it. It's dumb.
85%, and of course these are rough numbers, could be 80 or whatever, but 85% of Palestinians alive today did not vote for Hamas. Now, that is not the same thing as saying that they don't support Hamas. That number could be very different. Now, what people will respond with is that there have been polls conducted, Charlie.
Well, this is he's saying to the people who keep saying they voted for Hamas.
True.
They get what they deserve. So he's responding specifically to that.
So some of the responses on his were that polls show that 90% of them support Hamas. Listen, when we do polls in America, we call them BS.
Yeah.
Do you support me, Nate?
If you can't see right now because you're listening, Charlie's pointing a gun directly at my head.
A finger gun. Yeah.
Directly. If we were in grade school, that'd get us expelled right now.
I know. But we're not.
We're not.
This is freedom of America.
So, speech. Like, you look at polls in America and you're like, oh, yeah, that's BS. Who answers their phone, you know, and does a poll or whatever? Who's are you actually going to answer, or someone's going to come up to you and ask you fill out a form? How do you think they conduct the poll?
Yeah.
Who puts out the poll? Hamas? Like, seriously, don't have such a double standard for things. Just say that you are trying to rationalize in your brain that it's okay for civilians who potentially are just hostages to die in an airstrike
for
revenge.
Okay. That way, when you look at the little kid who didn't deserve to die, you can sleep at night.
And I'm not saying that means everything that Israel is doing is wrong and they shouldn't defend themselves or whatever, you know, our typical disclaimer that we have to do here. I'm just saying, don't rationalize, accept the truth. Like, say, yeah, there are innocent people who do not support Hamas, who wish that they could leave and wish that they could stand up without getting killed, that are just getting mowed down right now by shrapnel or whatever.
Caught in the crossfire.
And accept that fact. Don't try to rationalize it. Okay, that's dumb bleep number one. Dumb bleep number two comes from Jimmy Wales. Jimmy Wales, by the way, is he the founder of Wikipedia, or is he the guy who runs it right now? I should have looked that up. Someone give me a fact check in the group. I think he might be the founder. Let me see.
I can look it up while you're going for it.
Jimmy Wales said, fast-moving claims and counterclaims, and Elon Musk has removed all the core features that made it even remotely possible to tell real journalists from fakes. And Elon Musk responds with real journalist, LMAO, right now. What did we find?
He's a co-founder of Wikipedia.
So Jimmy Wells' complaint here has to do with the checkmark system. And what he's complaining about, ironically, without a check mark, although I know that this is actually Jimmy Wales because I know that this is his account, he's complaining that since you removed the legacy check mark system, that there's no way of being able to tell what's real or fake news. Because remember, Charlie, back in the old days, when the people running Twitter would get to decide who got a blue check mark, at that point in time, all the news you saw from blue check marks was real news.
It was legit.
It was the truth.
Except for like the New York Post and Hunter Biden's laptop.
True.
That had to be. Even though they had a blue check mark, that one had to be taken down.
Yeah, so at the in the old days, actually, what it was that check marks meant fake news back in the old days. Now, I don't really care about anyone's check marking. Well, like I said, ironically, this is Jimmy Wales saying this, and it's got a bunch of views, and Elon Musk responded to it. And like, I know that this is him that said it because it's from his account. I know it's his account because he can go to it. It's got millions of follows, and it's the one that he uses for tweeting all the time. You could take 2 seconds and see. Here's a funny response to this. Now, he said real journalist, LMAO. A new development since this happened. It actually happened on the same day where he made fun of real journalists. Elon Musk has removed the New York Times verification badge. So there are these kind of legacy verification badges or journalist verification badges for these big outlets out there. And the funny part now is that he actually went out there and took away the verification mark for the New York Times, which has got 55 million followers. So it's gone. They're no longer verified on Twitter. On the same day that Jimmy Wales was complaining about people not having blue check marks and not being able to tell who the real news was coming from, they took away their check mark. So,
God,
hilarious, I know, and it could have something to do with this whole thing that happened after the hospital strike. Because this, you know, Israel strike kills hundreds in hospital, 500 dead in strike on Gaza, 500 dead in blast at Gaza hospital, all coming from the New York Times. But it's coming from the New York Times, so it has to be real. Because you
not
don't
anymore,
get
took
fake
away
news from verified people, you know. Yeah. It's just not a thing. Okay, so number two goes to, and by the way, Wikipedia. So, to be complaining to Elon Musk, because now you have something called community notes, and community notes is where people get to come together and they rate things as true or not true, and they can be added to the end of claims that people are making.
Kind of like Wikipedia.
The person complaining about this is the co-founder of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Can someone explain that? The site where anyone can edit. Yes. Mm-hmm. Costco. Yes. That one. Okay. And by the way, like half the crap you see on there is fake. On Wikipedia.
Yeah. Even if you provide sources.
All right. Number three, let's go to video for this. This is someone interviewing the head of Hamas in Gaza and wants to get the right people on his side. And so he is likening what's happening in Gaza to the murder of George Floyd in America. So, BLM people, make sure you're on the right side here. It says, I want to take this opportunity to remember the racist murder of George Floyd.
George Floyd
was killed as a result of racist ideology held by some people. The same type of racism that killed George Floyd is being used by Israel against the Palestinians. And I want to take this... Oh. That was the end. That was a loop. I was about to read the whole thing again. Okay.
So, Israel.
Georgie Floyd.
Georgie. So basically, Israel killed George Floyd. That's
yeah.
what I got from
it's
that.
It's the same idea. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guy running a group of people who went out there and murdered innocent women and children and men. By the way, don't forget about the men.
Mm.
Okay, I'm sick of this sexist way that we talk about innocent people getting murdered. The men's lives matter. Okay,
not as much. As
they go out there and they do these terrible things. They take hostages, and that he's now complaining that what Israel is doing to them is like what people did to George Floyd. Now, if you connect all those two together, that's not great for the BLM cause. Like, if you actually want to make BLM and Hamas close to the same thing, that's not good. Now, last Dumbleep, we talked about how BLM Chicago was posting out, remember the picture of the guy on the parachute
mm-hmm.
out there, going out there to kill innocent civilians? I guess BLM was totally fine with that. So, have we officially reached the point where BLM is Hamas? I mean, I say that they're terrorists sometimes. They go out there and they terrorize, you know, and I don't want the terrorists to win. But are we going to make that comparison?
I don't think, no. Reminds me of Dumpling number one. No.
Hamas. I'm not talking about.
Hamas does not equal BLM.
Okay. Some people in BLM.
Some people, maybe. Yeah.
Well, if you joined it, you're fine with everything they do. You know?
I think, yeah. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous, obviously. Now, that's not to say that the Israeli government has not hurt some Palestinian people, obviously.
Yeah, but are they, did they do it because they're racist? Because they hate Arabs?
No, I don't think that's the reason.
Yeah. And also, was George Floyd killed because he was black? Was it a racist killing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Yeah. But I don't know.
I guess we don't know for sure.
The motivations of... Yeah.
We don't know what Chauvin would have done had it been a white guy that was, you know, high as hell.
He could have... I mean, he could have kept his knee on the back of the white guy, too. Who knows?
I think we should let him back out in the wild and see what happens, you know?
He's only allowed to interact with white people.
Just as a study.
Yeah. But of course, so this is the leader, the head of Hamas.
In Gaza, apparently. Okay. Allegedly, according to this post, and this is Vice News, so there's about a 15% chance of it being true, at least, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. But you see how this rhetoric plays out now on a global stage.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to attack it like in the beginning, in the small stages, you know, where people are like, oh, you know, let people think what they want to think, whatever. Well, I mean, they think what they want to think, but you got to call it out as being really dumb because this really does filter, like extrapolate itself out into the entire world. And when you allow those lies, because what you're doing is you're allowing lies
to fester.
And when you allow that lie, it grows. And it grows, and other people decide that they're going to use
that. Like Pinocchio's nose.
It is.
Yeah.
BLM's nose is now reaching all the way over to Gaza right now and touching this guy.
Yeah.
So this is the tip of BLM's nose, actually. Talking. That's what I think. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number four.
From Chicago.
Number four. It needs to be mentioned. It was put in as a dumb bleep submission. We mentioned it yesterday, but we'll talk about the Janet Yellen thing real quick. She said, of course, we have plenty of money to fund both Israel and Palestine, which we do. Actually, we're going to give $100 million to Palestine for aid. They're definitely going to use for aid, for sure, to aid their efforts in attacking Israel, I'm sure. But we can help both Ukraine and Israel and not crash our entire economy at the same time. Here is her saying that.
What this all means. Paul Tudor Jones, the famed investor, was on CNBC this week, and he said, this is the most threatening and challenging geopolitical environment that I've ever seen. At the same time, the U.S. is in its weakest fiscal position since World War II, with debt to GDP at 122%. Can America, can the West afford another war at this time?
I think the answer is absolutely. America can certainly afford to stand with Israel and to support Israel's military needs. And we also can and must support Ukraine in its struggle against Russia. And look, the American economy is doing extremely well.
Literally, the journalist is like, America's economy is the weakest it's been since World War II.
Yeah.
With debt to GDP at 123%, she's like, our economy is strong, strong as I've ever seen.
Now, what she means by
this, journalist.
Like I said yesterday, I mean, she holds the purse, and the purse is down about 33 trill right now. Okay.
It's a heavy purse.
It's a very, very heavy handbag that she's carrying around.
Gucci or?
But it doesn't matter how much debt we have, how big the deficits are. We can fund both Jews and Nazis at the same time. We can do this. Very important job.
That's a good distinction. And send $100 million to Palestinians.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Basically, no other countries need to exist. America can afford it all.
Yeah, we should, you know what, we should just we should just take over all the countries. We can fund all of it.
We just occupy. Mm-hmm. We'll send 1,000 Americans to every country.
There, that way we have to defend them.
And then we can...
Against the other ones.
Against, exactly.
I gotcha. And then we're defending them.
Is that
them.
The threshold, you think? 1,000?
Probably 1,000, yeah. I would say.
Set up a 1,000-person city in every country, and then you'd have to defend it.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's a good plan. That's and a good plan for world domination.
We can afford it. Of course we can.
Okay, moving away from this war and on to another one. Queer! Professor.
That's it.
Professor.
Another war. Queer.
Professor allegedly left bloodied after on-campus altercation with right-wing group. And this is being investigated. Queer professor left bloodied after on-campus altercation with right-wing group. And this is being
investigated. They're wearing MAGA hats.
It's being investigated as a hate crime right now, by the way. That's why I decided to look at this. And when you say altercation with right-wing group, well, I don't know. I guess they came up and attacked this person. I'm not really sure what happened. I decided it was worth actually reading the article and digging into it. Now, they're in an altercation with someone from TP USA. A queer professor at Arizona State University was allegedly left bloodied after an altercation broke out last week between him and two members of a conservative group and what authorities are investigating as a hate crime. David Boyles, who teaches English and is a co-founder of Drag Story Hour, Arizona, was confronted on ASU's campus by two men with the right-wing group Turning Point USA on Wednesday. The next day, the group posted online a 96-second video showing Boyles being followed by a cameraman and a personality named Callan D'Almeida, who was firing contentious questions about his work with Drag Story Hour. Drag Story Hour is a national group of local chapters across the country that organizes events where drag performers read children's books to kids while half-naked flopping their penises in front of little children. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what that said at all.
Yeah, you added that part.
For context. It was missing context was the problem. You can't run, D'Almeida said. It's best if you just talk to me on why you want to push sodomy to young people. And so anyway, they were following this guy. He's walking down the campus. There's a cameraman and interviewer, and they're walking next to the guy, you know, trying to ask him questions. Now, at a point, I would say, do you think that ever becomes a violation of your liberty, Charlie? Like, if someone is walking next to you, they're not preventing you from going anywhere, but they're walking next to you for however long it is that you're walking somewhere, and they're filming you, I guess you're on public property, and they're asking you questions. I don't know if it matters. The questions are, why do you like to get naked in front of kids? Mm-hmm. But we could just leave that out. Is that a violation of your liberty, you think?
No. You don't. Let's go into a building.
Okay.
Go into a private building where people can't follow you.
All right, so we'll talk about why that is important coming right up on Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Israel's war against Hamas is in its 18th day as heavy fighting continues. Intense negotiations are reportedly underway to try to free a large number of hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza. Israel has agreed to delay a ground invasion as the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt work to free hostages. Court documents show the off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot who allegedly tried to shut off the engines of a Horizon Airlines flight had taken psychedelic mushrooms. Joseph David Emerson was sitting in the cockpit jump seat when he said, "I'm not okay," before trying to pull the engine fire extinguisher handles. One pilot struggled with Emerson. He told the flight attendant, "You need to cuff me right now or it's going to be bad." He faces 160 state charges, including attempted murder. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
We're back on Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie going through Dumb Bleep of the Week, and we're right in the middle of a controversy. This is the video. The important point here is that...
Usually, I just want people to know, usually when people get real defensive, when you're asking them questions, they're usually guilty. I want you to know that.
So he was left bloodied.
Usually, not always.
He was left bloodied after an altercation with a right-wing group, and this is being investigated as a hate crime. One important point that we might want to point out is that he is the one who attacked the cameraman first, and then the other guy pushed him as he was attacking the cameraman, and the queer fell down and hit his face on the sidewalk.
Identified by journalists.
Yeah, I mean,
queer.
Literally, the article starts with queer. Mm-hmm. The headline starts with queer. The article starts with queer. So I'm just saying what they're saying. Here's them walking down the sidewalk right here. And you can see the guy get pushed. And the other guy comes up behind him and pushes him. And that was the altercation. Like, that was the whole altercation right there. He pushes the cameraman. The other guy pushes him off the cameraman, and he falls and hits his face on the pavement. Maybe people probably can't see it because there's him pushing that guy. This guy pushes him.
Also, I was taking a look at your Substack, and it seems like you really, really hate Americans. Like, you just are disgusted with Americans in this country. And it's funny because you would like to see a different America exist where little boys are sodomized by people like you, right? Hey!
All right, so there's your altercation. There's your hate crime investigation right there.
And it looks like and the cameraman's backing up and trying to block.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I asked you beforehand because
I think it's written in the law you can't push queers in the back.
That
and maybe
unless they should ask for it. No, I just wanted to finish the law. Anyhow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. This is the annoying part about hate crimes.
I can't.
You know? Because, first off, this could just be called an altercation. And if it wasn't a queer that was pushed down to the pavement in this scenario, I think you would just look at the video and you would see that he attacked the cameraman first and that the other guy came up to defend the cameraman and push him away from the cameraman. The guy falls down, hits his face on the pavement. And if the word queer wasn't involved here, I feel like that's kind of the end of the story right there. Maybe the cameraman presses charges against the dude for pushing him. But I don't think we get this whole hate crime investigation going on right now, which could end up being really serious. I think you get the death penalty for that. Not for pushing one. We'll see. We'll see what happens. They're moving forward, I believe, with the charges on this.
Ridiculous.
So, hate crimes are dumb. Okay, mm-hmm. just on their own. What's number six? Well, let's move on to... There we go. Charlie, go ahead.
All right, this is from Sarah Spector. She said, I don't understand why it's okay to regulate a woman's body to save the life of a fetus, but it's not okay to regulate the price of insulin to save the life of a diabetic. Same.
Why do you think it's not?
Well, abortion...
I mean, come on, this is a perfect analogy.
This whole show is about things equaling each other.
Yeah.
Abortion is the same as insulin.
Analogies are very important. You know, one thing I've always had a little pet peeve about are people that make terrible analogies. Mm-hmm. You know, people who can't make analogies are like freaking Nazis. Just get my analogy.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You made a terrible analogy to explain that you don't like terrible analogies.
Good.
These things aren't the same. They're not the same thing.
So to compare one to the other, you're going to save the life of a fetus. You got to say fetus, not baby. Okay. So you got to use that word. All that requires is you preventing someone from taking an action. Like you tell a doctor that they can't kill the baby. Okay. Which is how like we as libertarians would say like, okay, the doctor can't take the action of killing the baby.
Mm.
All right. So on the other one, when you say regulate the price of insulin.
You could say in the growth of the fetus if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't take an action that would end the growth of the fetus.
Well, that one gets complicated for me because what if the mom takes an action that would end the growth of the fetus? You know, like she goes on a hunger strike, you know, what are you going to do?
There's nothing you can do about that.
So the price regulate the price of insulin. You're actually forcing other people to take actions. One of the actions you're taking is you're going to take all the insulin away from everyone else because there's not going to be any left because you're going to kill the market. So that's one of the things. And when you regulate the price of insulin, what do you mean by that? You're probably actually going to subsidize the price of insulin is what you're going to do. So which means you're going to take money from other people and give it to other people who need insulin, which means you're actually forcing other people to take actions on behalf of someone else so they can provide something to someone else. You see, you're flipping the whole, you're either going to force someone to take an action to create an outcome, or you're going to say that someone can't take an action to create an outcome mm-hmm. that you want. So it's a bad analogy is what I'm saying.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like bad analogies. I just don't.
Mm.
Number seven. This guy's holding up a 3 right now. The Washington Post, they post out that the Marine Corps made a concern. I actually read it that fat in my head. I'll read it, and then I realize that I have to change it afterwards. Like, I'll say corpse. And I'm like, that's not corpse.
It's core.
Clearly.
Why would you put a P on it?
Look at the letters. Come on. Take the P out,
yeah.
Marines. The Marine Corps has made a concerted push to become more reflective of the diverse nation it defends. The number of black Marines who fly fighter jets has fallen. Critics say the service appears unwilling to take aggressive steps to level the playing field. This is a problem.
God.
This is a problem.
Marines, maybe they don't want to fly.
Marines struggle with a glaring diversity problem. This is the story. So
do you realize? So American military service is volunteer, and then like wait, they're not holding anybody back because of their color.
No. Well,
they don't let anybody sign up to die.
No, they mentioned that in the article. that they have removed any barrier to entry for anyone that like maybe was there in the past, but that's not enough for them. They've got to be actively promoting black Marines up to flying these jets to fix their diversity problem, you know? So they spent decades making a concerted push to become more reflective. Officials point to sustained gains in recruiting women to join the force and in growing overall diversity among services officer ranks.
They want women to die.
But within its community of fighter pilots, these efforts have failed to keep pace. And while leaders acknowledge they have work to do, observers say the institution appears unwilling to take the aggressive and resource-intensive steps that experts deem necessary to put black candidates for those jobs on more equal footing with their white peers.
What
are they talking about?
What do you have to do?
Well, I mean,
it's not easy to become a fighter pilot. And by the way,
I think
haven't you seen Top Gun?
It didn't look tougher for him. I mean, he was fine.
Yeah, and he's white. Mm-hmm. That's right.
True. To become a pilot of one of these areas, you basically have to have a doctorate in killing innocent civilians. And that's tough to get. It's expensive, you know, and there's a lot of training for that. No offense to all the fighter pilots out there. I'm sure you dream about it every night.
I don't even think I can be a fighter pilot because I think I'm too tall, right? Isn't there a height limit?
There is a height limit. I don't know if you're over it, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the limit is. You're probably close, I would say. You probably are. Let's see. A film producer whose father flew fighter jets in the Marine Corps has researched the imbalance and concluded that the service leaders underestimate what's required for African Americans to overcome certain obstacles that can stymie the prospects of otherwise qualified individuals. He points to previous flying experience, which is expensive. Graham also faults a recruiting system that he said has done a lackluster job engaging the black community specifically. And here's the deal. Before we even decide that we're going to go through all of this article and talk about how they have failed at this quest and how there aren't enough black fighter pilots or whatever, my main question is, for Dumb Bleep number 7, why is this a goal whatsoever? The main question is, who cares?
Yeah,
I don't care.
I don't fit.
You don't fit? What's the height requirement?
So you have to be no less than 64 inches short and 77 inches tall when standing.
No less than 64
inches
short.
There's a
64 short. Minimum? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so you have to be 5'4" or 6'5"? 77 inches, 6'5"?
77 is, yes, 6'5". So 5'4"
to 6'5".
Is the range.
You have to be 34 to 40 inches tall when sitting. So you only have a 6-inch. When you're sitting, you've only got 6 inches.
All right.
And you have to weigh no less than 160 pounds. So if you're under 160, you don't qualify. And no more than 231 pounds.
Mm.
So if you're over 231, you don't qualify.
So what you're telling me is
if you fall outside these ranges, it's still possible to pursue a career in aviation. But an additional screening will be required to make sure you can safely perform operational duties.
Mm.
Okay. And there are also specific height and weight requirements for specific airframes, which will be discussed during your pilot training. So you can't have a history of hay fever, allergies, or asthma. You normal color vision with near visual acuity of 20/30 without correction. Distance visual acuity of no worse than 20/70 in each eye. And you have to meet refraction, accommodation, and astigmatism requirements.
Okay. So
nothing about being white or black.
But nothing about. Okay. So yeah, you're right. It didn't mention skin color in there.
No,
it
did, nothing about skin pigmentation.
Sure.
But so, there's a lot of height and weight requirements.
So before we went through those specifications, the point I was making is this shouldn't matter. What should matter is that the absolute best person for the job is the one who's flying the airplane.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
This idea that we have to have diversity requirements in the people that are, let's give all the benefit of the doubt here, the people that are defending our country and keeping us safe, all right? If we were to be invaded, who do you want flying? The DEI candidate who got put there because of the color of his skin or what was in her pants you know, or the person who was best for the job, who did the best job out of everyone. That's all I care about. I want it to be the best people for the job. Okay? That's it. That's all that should matter. Are they the best people? So we don't have to go through the rest of it.
Yep. Agreed.
Number eight, this girl. Been seeing this girl all over Twitter.
I like the note you put, girl.
Girl. I didn't know what to call her.
This girl.
Definitely girl. All right, so she is complaining. A lot of people have probably seen this. She is.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I didn't. Sorry, that part was redundant. And so yeah. She is upset.
We already knew that.
She has a business marketing degree, and she can't get hired at one of these $150,000 to $200,000 a year jobs fresh out of college. They want her to work for less money than that.
Mm.
And she's making more money waiting tables. Mm. And so it's impossible for people like her and her nice car sipping her Starbucks to get ahead in life, because you can't just get automatically picked up at one of these jobs.
I have a bone to pick with America! So I'm headed to my serving job. I fucking hate it.
Earmuffs.
I fucking hate it.
Earmuffs.
I make more money serving. I have my literal business marketing degree.
Now, is that better than a figurative business marketing degree?
A literal one?
Yeah, but not quite as good as a metaphorical.
I mean, as long as it's hanging on her wall, does she have it framed?
I don't know. She probably does. Okay, sorry. We'll back it up a little bit.
Business marketing degree that put me in a cute $80,000 in debt.
That's smart.
And I make more serving sushi rolls because I've been applying to marketing jobs fucking for weeks now, and the pay cut is insane. Insane. But the jobs that are like a cute $150,000 to $200,000 a year, I'm not getting those. I'm a 20, almost 25 year old, my birthday soon, almost 25 year old chick going against, you know, corporate ass America, people with so much experience. All I got is my degree. You know, people say, get your degree, but then they don't talk about how you need experience. The degree was the experience!
Yeah. The degree was the experience.
Yeah.
So
just put on there that you did keg stands in college. And so like you can face adversity. Yeah. And we should hire you at $150,000 to $200,000 a year, because right out of school, you're going to provide that much value.
Mm-hmm. And she was probably the only person that graduated with that degree.
Your literal business marketing degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're worth that much to someone. Jesus.
So a couple things, $80,000 for this business marketing degree. Do you even, I guess you do, but I feel like technology has advanced so much now, and with social media and AI and all this other stuff, that you need a business marketing degree from college to work in business marketing. Is that it? I mean, I'm asking a question now. I'm not saying that you have to, but is that what they're looking for?
I don't think so.
You're a tough person to ask, because you have no
experience,
degree.
Like, experience will trump education every time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
But she doesn't want to get experience. You see, the problem with everyone going to college and getting this, like I said earlier.
Everyone went to college.
She's not the only person that graduated with that degree.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't understand that labor is a commodity. She's in competition with other people who are willing to take a lower salary to get on-the-job experience coupled with their degree, so that maybe in 5, 6, 7 years they can make that $150,000 to $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know, they can be at that. That's really a vice. But she wants to be a vice president straight out of school. Pay me 200 G's and then give me a car allowance and a corner office. But Allison?
Allison? Is that her name? Oh, yeah.
Fitness
with Allison.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you just grow your fitness channel?
So the thing is, you're going to have to take a job making less money and get experience. So people can then, like you just said, that's like extra plus college. Like that's like getting your business doctorate. You know, now they have plenty of other people who did take the lower pay job who have experience, or they can take someone fresh out of college who has no actual experience doing the job. Which one are you going to pick? You're going to pick the one that has actual experience in the field.
Mm.
You're not just going to hire someone at $150,000 or $200,000. It's ridiculous. Number nine, this is funny. The UN Human Rights Council just held their elections, and here's their 2024 to 2026 class of members for the UN Human Rights Council.
Cuba.
I had to check this a couple times because I thought that maybe it was fake.
Members include, this is for human rights, by the way, Cuba, Qatar, China, Sudan. I don't even know that's a country. Eritrea?
Yeah, I think that was right.
Eritrea?
Mm-hmm.
Kuwait. They're most known.
Yeah.
For their human rights. Algeria, Burundi, Somalia.
Vietnam.
Malaysia. Still looking for that airplane.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan.
So
and
this,
Bangladesh.
In reading through the list, you would assume that this has to be parody, right? Like, it would have to be. There's no way that it would actually be real. But as you research it, especially on Twitter.
This is from news.un.org. So, Albania, Brazil, Bulgaria, Burundi, China, Cuba, Dominican Republic, France, Ghana, Indonesia.
For this year or for...
Beginning... they serve for 3 years beginning January 1, 2024. Hang on. These are just the new members. So the new members will join Algeria, Argentina, Bangladesh, Belgium, Benin, Cameroon, Chile, Costa Rica, Eritrea, Finland, Gambia, Georgia, Germany, Honduras, India, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malaysia, Maldives, Montenegro, Morocco, Paraguay, Qatar, Romania, Somalia,
okay,
South Africa, Sudan, UAE, United States of America, and Vietnam on the 1st of January, 2024. So those countries are now added to all those other countries.
Okay. So the list of countries we have are on the UN Human Rights Council.
Yes.
Okay. Great. That's good. When can we get rid of the UN then? Can I make a motion to get rid of the... What do they do?
These people were elected, Nate. Free and fair elections.
So we support them. It's the United Nations, and we're a member. So that's great. I'm just still wondering why we have the UN. When they said council, I thought they meant human rights counseling, like to help the people, you know, because they don't know what they're doing. They need help with it. The Human Rights Council is an intergovernmental body with the United Nations system responsible for strengthening the promotion and protection of human rights around the globe. So maybe, these are the people.
Maybe these people do care about human rights in their country, and they are now elected on the council, so they can get pamphlets to bring back to their government.
I got you.
To say, hey, here's what we're doing wrong.
You know who got the snub this year, though, was North Korea. Look at Eritrea, the one that we were talking about. That's the one I picked. Their government remains one of the world's most repressive, subjecting its population to widespread forced labor and conscription, imposing restrictions on freedom of expression, opinion, and faith, and restricting independent scrutiny by international monitors. It's got a one-man dictatorship with no legislature, no independent civil society organizations or media outlets, and no independent judiciary. Elections have never been held in the country since it gained independence in 1993. And the government has never implemented the 1997 Constitution guaranteeing civil rights and limiting executive power. That's good stuff from the UN. And then we'll look at one last dumb bleep here. Carolina Care. This is an email that someone got, and I saw this posted out by that Felix Ammunition page that's always trolling pretty good. So I did have to go in and make sure this is real. But Carolina Care access for young adult dependents age 12 to 17. So here's the subject of the email. Access to your child's Carolina Care account will change November 1st. Dear parent or legal guardian, we wanted to let you know about an upcoming change to your Carolina Care account that will take effect on November 1st, 2023. Starting November 1st, 2023, you will no longer be able to have access to prescription information for your children between the ages of 12 and 17. If your child has not yet turned 12, this change will take effect on their 12th birthday. This change is to protect the privacy of your child's prescription records. It allows minors to receive prescription medication for sensitive issues as permitted by law without worrying about how their parents may react.
So now the new age of adulthood is 12.
I guess that's the age that the government takes ownership of you, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that 12?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I went in to make sure this was real because it seemed very highly ridiculous. And
they can get Xanny bars. They can get Adderall.
No.
They can get birth control.
Anything. It's fine.
Whatever you want.
You just don't want the parents to get mad about it. It's crazy, yeah. Parents.
Hormone blockers.
It's a real thing. By the way, beginning November 1st, children.
Gender fluids. IV.
Gender fluids. Straight up the arm. Children aged 12 to 17 will need to create a new account on the Carolina Care website. So
now, Carolina Care, is that just the Medicaid for the Carolina? Like North
Carolina?
It's not
just Carolina, because the reason they say they did this is because they serve in multiple states. And since different states have made this law, my guess is California. I don't think that we have to go into why this is so ridiculous. I think everyone... every competent person who's listening right now knows how.
Atrium Health. So Atrium. So this basically is then the prescription program that Atrium Healthcare provides to their employees.
Okay.
I would assume. And it says here that Atrium Health provides healthcare hope and healing.
Regardless, I think we all agree that this is really dumb. It is the parents' children, just to be clear with everyone. That's how we come down on the issue. This is your child, not the government's child. So whatever law it is that they are complying with, and whatever state it is that they're complying with, now that law needs to go immediately, because it's a freaking 12-year-old. All right, let's get the votes in.
If you're part of the live group, get your vote in. Boom.
Okay, Carolina Care is the one who wins. Listen to us every Tuesday night on Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. We'll see you next time.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.